Welcome to another ABC Radio National podcast. For more information, go to abc.net.au/rn.
You're on ABC Radio National. Hello and welcome to Big Ideas. David Fisher with you from The Science Show with something a little different for the final Big Ideas of the regular 2008 season. Well, I don't know how it happened, but the curtain on yet another year is almost down. Take your mind back to the halfway point. The federal opposition was struggling with its leadership. The financial crisis was gathering steam. Surely it couldn't get any worse. In July, the Wharf Review team at the Sydney Theatre Company summed up the situation in another of their brilliant shows. Radio National was there, and so today you're in a front row seat on Big Ideas. Here they are, Jonathan Biggins, Amanda Bishop, Drew Forsyth and Philip Scott in Waiting for Garno. And a warning, this production contains coarse language.
Trains are running late. Do you wonder what proportion of your life is spent in waiting? All that waiting through commercials for a movie to begin. Waiting at a busy road because the pricks won't let you in. When you catch that train, you sit there simply waiting to arrive. You have got to get a coffee, 'cause you need it to survive. Still the waiter keeps you waiting for your coffee just the same. As you wait, it's getting later. Everybody is a waiter. Every life is just a circulating, unabating, endless waiting game.
And the country keeps on waiting for some action at the pump. We are waiting for the moment when the politicians jump to the conclusion that there's something we appointed them to do. Then the Senate keeps them waiting so the bills cannot get through. We are waiting for a leader who will calm us with a smile. He will while away our worries and the wait will be worthwhile. But we'll wait until the cows come home. 'Twas ever just the same. Through the partisan debating, with the rhetoric inflating, the result is just an irritating, constipating, spineless waiting game.
Is waiting though our time is running out for a dark and desperate future where we're wandering about upon a planet full of greenhouse gas, no water to be had in the phosphorescent debris of a nuked Islamabad. When the polar ice has melted and the rivers have run dry, will we wait in vain for help until we wait in pain to die? We await an explanation, or at least someone to blame. Oh, the vision we're creating doesn't bear the contemplating, as we wallow in an enervating, devastating, hopeless waiting game.
So we're there still, waiting on the platform for some water from the pump, in a greenhouse full of coffee, where the desperate people jump onto a train that's gonna take them off to nuke Islamabad, where the cows are coming home, although the lot of them are mad. There was debris at the river, so the bills could not get through, and the polar ice is melting, cause there's nothing else to do. But the phosphorus commercials keep the politicians tame, as the waiters are gyrating and the coffee's percolating. We indulge in a perambulating, micturating, fluorinating, escalating, masturbating, simply incapacitating, pointless waiting.
Waiting in exile, thwarted by Nelson, biding my time, biding my time. Destiny calls me.
I'm just taking the dogs out to the solarium.
Destiny calls me.
Bye!
Noble my quest, so with reason and rhyme I continue my climb. Wentworth's king I deposed, je suis comte de Vaucluse, and though humble my birth, I'm incredibly rich and adored by the Jews. So those who dare to stand in my way, they stand to lose. Foes, craven and cunning, Costello is lurking, Abbott snipes at my flanks, should have stayed with the banks. Though my modesty's false, my ambition is true. Like all who are driven by ego and pride, I must crash or crash through. And if you don't want to do it my way, then frankly, fuck you. And so it must be, I'm warning you now, I am not one to hang around, and someone better to lead than I will not be found. And so it must be, I shall wear the crown.
Hello? Malcolm Bonaparte? Malcolm Turnbull? Oh, the Wentworth Courier. Yes. We have an interview, that's right. Today. You're at the front door now. I'll be right down. Brendan has my full support. Brendan has my full support. Brendan.
I am power. This is finance. The stock market took a dive overnight, the biggest one-day drop since yesterday. The All Ordinaries were even more ordinary. The Nikkei nicked off, the FTSE was cold, and the DAX were down. Commodities, well, they fell faster than a Babcock and Brown director off the top of Centrepoint. One Aussie dollar is buying 97.2 US cents, 48 pence, or a two-bedroom house in Kenthurst. Oil's fetching 180 a barrel, but only if you can get to the Gulf States on a Tuesday night. Go to abc.online/finance/wrists. This correction is especially hard on mum and dad investors from Sydney's eastern suburbs, still reeling from the hits they took in this year's federal budget. Let's hear from one of them.
No baby bonus. This is pure discrimination. If I'd have known this, I would have had a termination. A private school's the only option. You may call me greedy, but welfare's too important to be wasted on the needy. Why pick on me? It couldn't be my lifestyle. Don't touch my lifestyle. That ghastly budget. Only now the shock is dawning. How could they fudge it? I should have heeded Malcolm's warning. Why are the high achievers totally ignored? I worked my tits off for success, but it is not its own reward. What did I do for them to screw with my lifestyle? Don't knock my lifestyle. Don't rock my lifestyle. I warn you, Mr. Swan. Ruffle me, 1, 2, 3, and you're gone. For I intend to carry on with my lifestyle. Oh, I was way off voting for the Labour Party. And now the payoff. They want to tax my Maserati. The price of alcohol pops is simply going through the roof, while every bum in Matthew Talbot's drinking 80 proof. Don't criticize or penalize my lifestyle. I earned this lifestyle. Concerned real lifestyle. I will not cop this loss, 'cause I agree with Alan Moss. It's about lifestyle.
Ackerman.
Mr. Windshutter.
I read your article last week, Ackerman, in damn good flame.
Thank you, Master Windshutter. The papist blackguard deserved it. He'll never show his bleeding heart in Sydney Town again.
Well, the whole colony has gone to the dogs since Governor Howard was recalled.
Oh, Marion, amen to that.
Do you know, it reminded me of that Camp Cove we met on the picnic last week.
Bobbin Head?
Well, not at the time. Don't you remember? We were discussing Milson's point.
That's right. Milson said, you can't sit there. That's Mrs. McQuarrie's chair.
Indeed. And we had to play games. We had to hide Park.
It didn't take long to find him.
No, we had to say Moore Park.
Moore Park, that's right.
And then chats would chase Miranda. I mean, he was all right when he tried to mount Victoria, but when he tried to mount Druid...
Grey stains from head to foot. Then Ben Boyd rode up. Right. Argyle cut the cheese. We all had to evacuate the Marquis.
Yes, King's Cross about that.
Lieutenant King just back from Norfolk.
Lord Howe, wasn't it?
No, Howe's back from Van Diemen's Land.
Port Arthur?
No, thanks. I just had a Madeira. Oh, that reminds me, Windshuttle. We'll have to think of some place names for the new colony.
Indeed. Ooh. Ah, Miranda, my dear. We were just talking about you.
Pray, sir, nothing untoward, I trust. For what am I without my reputation?
Oh, nothing, Miss Divine, nothing.
Oh, Miss Divine. Oh, sorry about that.
Pray, what gossip from the town?
Too, sir, no gossip, I. But whisper I have heard, faint yet enough to build a case on, sufficient to bring to heel Miss Do-Goody McHugh, saviour of Bennelong.
That pious slut! Holy thou!
And what of MacArthur? What news from Camden Town?
Oh, nothing but trouble, sir. Hmm? Mohammedans wanting to open up a schoolhouse to teach their heathen ways.
Oh, next they'll be wanting to install a harem. The hottiest hot women you've ever seen.
But you don't see them, Ackerman. They're covered from head to foot.
Burkas!
Burkas to you as well.
And the Reverend Marsden.
Not the sodomite of Campbelltown.
Queen's Council, indeed.
Yes, time to launch a rearguard action against his reputation.
But the man is dead.
Oh, it's never stopped me in the past, sir. And it seems Justice Kirby is of his kind.
Egads! The colony is full of them. A veritable sea-girt Sodom.
And meanwhile, our new governor dares to place a tax on rum and lemonade.
Oh, the very currency of the colony.
Another hollow gesture, I'm sure.
Yes, about as ridiculous as his scheme to put a slate in every school.
Or to shut down the whalers.
Or to put a Chinaman in charge of the water in the tank stream.
Nay, worse, a China woman.
Oh, it's just one wrong after another.
And saying sorry to the black.
Yes, the only time you say sorry to a black is when you miss him with your first shot.
Yeah, yeah.
Anybody say sorry to the generous souls who gave them blankets and flour? Mm. Poison doesn't come cheap, you know. Mm.
Stolen generations.
Stolen generations, my fat ass.
30,000 years, and the best they can come up with is a bent stick that comes back.
Thank the merciful Lord, we are here to protect the morals of the colony.
Indeed, Miranda, we should start up our own broadsheet.
Oh, there's an idea. Young Murdoch would back us with a pound or two.
We could have it on the streets by Thursday.
So soon?
It's never too early to rewrite history.
The midday flogging.
Zoot! We've only just had the 11 o'clock.
Coming, Miranda?
Absolutely. They're using my whip.
They're coming, Ackerman.
I'll be right with you. I've just got to point Piper at the punch bowl.
Right.
This is Big Ideas on ABC Radio National. And for the final program of the year, we're with the team from the Sydney Theatre Company's Wharf Review with their show recorded in July, Waiting for Garno. And a warning, the following skit is hilarious. It contains coarse language.
You're asking me, has my day in the hills come to an end? Well, let me just say this. The hills district's alive with the working families, with debts they've run up for 11 years. They drink and they drive, all these working families. So I should have been cognizant of the possibility that it would end in tears. I've done what I can do no more, only wait, watch and pray. If petrol goes up, we will all go down at the end of the day. I tried to instill my Christian values to keep the country clean. I cancelled my subscription to Art Monthly magazine. My back's to the wall. Not the one in China, Mr. Speaker. I have dropped the ball, that is plain to see. I did what I could for the working families, but frankly, they didn't work for me. Sanctuary! Sanctuary! And let me make the point again. Sanctuary!
Sweet Jesus!
No, no, Sister Gillard. It's only me, Sister Kevin. Let me back in.
I'm afraid under current canonical legislation that is not an option open to you at this point in time. Placed as you were in good faith in an ongoing employment situation with the Von Trapp working family.
I can't go back. They're turning against me.
Oh, no. Don't tell me we've got another Sister Latham on our hands. I hope you're not keeping a diary.
Oh, no, no. I can't work for Captain Von Trapp. Technically, I'm still a novice.
Well, it is a lay situation.
Don't even go there. I tried everything. I introduced a curtain recycling program. I fed them cabbage and beans 3 times a day as part of an emissions trading scheme. I held a summit to prioritise their favourite things. And I'd already begun to action the Crisp Apple Strudels initiative.
But these are ordinary, hard-working Austrians. What is your issue?
You're asking me what is my issue. Let me tell you. It's the children. You know what children are like. Oh, no, you don't. Their demands were unsustainable. They formed a choir, and the result, if it had any artistic merit at all, which frankly I doubt, was revolting and exploitative. Let's just let kids be kids, you know?
Much as I am reluctant to impart this following observation, Sister Kevin, of all the sisters who put their hands up, you were the only one comfortable with it. And you applied for the job. Let me remind you of the parable of the party faithful. Out in the west lived a storeman packer, Lady Oda, Lady Oda, Lady Ooh. Sat around on his fat old clacker, Lady Oda, Lady Oda Loom. He had abandoned the union movement, Lady Oda, Lady Oda, Lady Ooh. Fully obsessed with his home improvement, Lady Oda, Lady Oda Loom. He had upward aspirations, Howard promised him the lot. Bad debt, spiralling inflation, that's what the poor prick got.
Sister!
What? So, leading up to the last election, a cunning little strategy we hit upon. We could reverse his prior defection with the help of you and Sister Swan. We'd keep an eye on the petrol bowsers, monitor the costs of the groceries too. Take off the pressure off the price of houses. Christ, you've got a bloody lot to do. Yo-ho-yo-da-lady, yo-ho-yo-da-lady, yo yo ho yo da lady.
And your point?
You are the one who has been anointed. Every Aussie battler must look to you. Though your sainthood is self-appointed, if you give up now, we're in the poo. So, Sister Kevin, if you want to go to heaven, cast your mind.
wind back to 07. Pull your fucking finger out and follow through.
But you don't understand. In terms of a crisis of faith, let me just say this. I have one.
Ah, well, that's beyond me. You'll have to see the Mother Superior. Oh, Mother Paul.
Thank you, Sister Gillard. I've heard enough. And don't breathe a word about this to anyone. One of the sisters has leaked in the press, so we won't be making any more wine for a while. Sister Kevin.
Oh, Mother Paul, I hope I haven't disturbed you.
No. I was just finishing off Paul's letter to the Sydney Morning Herald. Yeah. Outraged of Wallara. I mean, come on. Bloody Waverley Council want to build a bicycle track right outside my front door.
Mother, there's something I can't face.
What is it you can't face, Kevin?
No, can't face.
No, I think I was pretty much right the first time.
Mother, did you ever lose faith?
I never lost faith in those around me, because I never fucking had any in the first place. I mean, take a look. Just take a look. No, take a look at the nuns in this ministry. You know, they couldn't hail Mary with a megaphone. Sister Garrett sits here burning the midnight oil. Yes. Sister Combe been on retreat ever since she got here. Sister Shorten seems to have taken a vow of silence. Sister Neil. No, get up. Sister Belinda Neil. You know, the one who got stuck into the communion wine and took out half the netball team. I hate to say it, but you're about the best we've got. How did you get yourself in this dilemma? Why do you get distracted by the mob? Who do you think you are, another Yemma? They voted for you, so don't be a stupid knob. Learn from the Labour greats, cos all of them are faithful and fearless and always on the job.
But, Mother, the voters just gave me a real slap in the face.
No. This is a real slap in the face.
Thank you, I needed that. But the swing in the Northern Territory...
Oh, forget it. 7% in the Bass by-election. Been a long moving in Labour's direction. Aston and Braddon were beautiful things. These are a few of my favourite swings. Oh, come on, bloody John Watson, right there. Jesus.
But, Mother, I had a vision for the future, and it's being lost in a fog of day-to-day trivia. I'm on 68, Brendan's on 17. Why can't I forge ahead? Motorists whinge while teenagers binge. Mount Isa is breathing lead. I had planned a future agenda. It's disappeared from view. I'm a bureaucrat.
You're a pussycat.
I need an answer from you.
Look, you think you've got problems. I made history running this country. I made the hardest calls. Floated the dollar, cleaned up the squalor. I was a nun with balls. Opened the markets, freed the banks to make the place compete. Sister Costello gets the thanks while I endure defeat. 12 years later, miracles happen. Sainthood cannot be far. You just persevere, now get out of here. Kevin, 07, ta-ta.
Let me just start at the very beginning.
Oh, Christ, you have to. Look, I'll say this slowly. You got the numbers.
Well, yes.
You won the vote.
And your point being?
Let others make the blunders. You've got them by the throat.
Well, that's not strictly
Listen,
true.
Listen, you're number one. Bend the scum to your will. They are merely the unrepresentative swill.
I got the numbers.
No, let me finish. Let me finish. Climb every molehill, sidestep the schemes. Don't read Alan Ramsay. You're a chip, you're
rendition of the Moonlight Sonata. I'd like to thank the winner of the Sydney Piano Competition, Chu Mai Wang. Good evening, I'm Julie Bishop. For those of you who don't know me, and recent polling suggests that might be quite a few of you, I'm the deputy leader of the government. Sorry, opposition. It still doesn't come naturally. Incidentally, Chu Mai is from Korea. It just goes to show what can happen when we let in the right migrants. Perhaps we'd welcome the Sudanese more warmly if they could learn an instrument other than the bongos. Nothing like piano practice to keep you off the streets. Now, that piece was chosen by the man we honour this evening. Australia's greatest foreign minister, the retiring Alexander Downer. Not that Alexander has ever been retiring. I remember him joking that he was the ham with mayo. Of course, it was much more amusing when he told it. I am rarely amusing. Where to begin with Alexander's innumerable foreign affairs triumphs? Of course, let's start with, or perhaps we'll, oh. But his heart was always with the peoples of the world. And every developing person he met, he made them think, well, perhaps my life hasn't been so bad after all. Now, he was particularly fond of the people of Zimbabwe. He did so much for them. And I know his best wishes go out tonight to those brave natives fighting for democracy in a harsh and unforgiving land.
Of Zimbabwe. Oh, Father.
Oh, great Father.
Oh, great Grandfather.
Great, great Grandfather.
Mugabe strong.
Mugabe.
Very old.
And wise. Mugabe, his father told me, he mined the jewel that was Zimbabwe. Mugabe, he promised to be in charge of the people for eternity.
He's a good Catholic, he go to mass. He talk to God to save our black ass. Money no problem when the price is so. He go to the print to say, you make more.
Mugabe, he run the economy. He no Keynesian, easy to see. Mugabe, he throw the big party. Have a big bash for the MDC.
His cronies make fortunes while they keep him in place. He plundered the country, it's a basket case. Mugabe!
Mugabe, he's the one for me. No one opposes him in Zimbabwe. Mugabe, I tell you this for free. He bite like a sandfly, he sting like a bee.
To engage with the critics, he send the death squad. He no spoil the people, he no spare the rod. The UN say nothing, they silent, they cool. With terror he reign, he violent, he cruel. Oh.
Mugabe, he make election free. You don't vote for him, you're free to hang from a tree. Mugabe style democracy. He's taught to the people with the machete.
He a dangerous lunatic, you ought to avoid. Mad as a snake and the paranoid. How could he pull that election stunt? Mugabe wear his underpants back to front. Come on, man, that was mine! It's satire, you know! I just say on your pen!
Mugabe, for dictator he nice, so for him I voted twice. Mugabe, for you I sing and I dance, but unfortunately I shit my pants. Driving on a desert road, lost in time and space, I float with my thoughts, my dreams adrift. Red cars in the sunset, elision, collision, my fantasies crash, two lives intersect, the high and the low, both brought to earth, confounding, resounding, silence. And the last 6 points off my license. Somewhere in my nightmare, Francisco de Goya, unsparingly honest as always, hallucinates delirium, inferno primed, high life hijacked on a highway by low life, who prosecute the highbrow that dares to judge what's high, what's low, castigate and shame him, send the elitist bastard packing. No longer welcome in my homeland, I flee. And from the salons of Gotham, I watch as the barbarians storm the land of my birth once more, and it shits me no end. Oh, perish the thought that in other than sport, one could be better or best. An idea can be excellent. Some art seen as great. Some people are second to none. But dare to declare it, and outpour the pious to mend the bruised egos of the backward and bumbling, those boutique losers, those fashionable failures. Ha! I am no uninformed pundit who parrots the talk of the town. Let not the snobbish she-she, who with ego's inflated attention span of a flea, parade their fake tastes, their sham manners malign art's deeper intent, provoke resentment, and old fears, repressive tendencies, like fungal spores in the soil, lurking, always latent and ready to sprout, return overnight when conditions are ripe. And into this maelstrom of malice dropped the sweet Caravaggio of the lens, unwitting chronicler of faded innocence, savaged by the sanctimonious, mauled by the media, pilloried on the stocks of public opinion. No time for contemplation of an image in its context. All dignity is brutally stripped bare, and the vision, once so tender as great art so often is, alive with moody ambiguity, is cheapened and devalued, branded sordid and depraved. Are there no more champions to defend him? Have all our prophets been sent offshore? Who will relieve the beleaguered few? Ma, Maloof, McGregor too, who stand against the marauding hordes, words their arrows, pens their swords. It's time to summon Australia's elite, who used to live just down the street, but drawn abroad by Athene's bid, cause in those days that's what you did. Their lecture fees end in several zeros. The expatriate, cultural, superheroes. I, Ghost, who barely walks, and from the north,
It's Germaine Woman. Tenacious, unpredictable, voluble, and postmenopausal. And also from the north, it's Super Clive. The wit, the barb, with irony replete. Able to leap 6 writers' festivals in a single afternoon. And from the north, south, east, and west, it's Pilgerman. Conscience of the nation, fighting for truth, justice, but not the American way. If an artist is in danger,
we'll be there.
If freedom of speech is threatened,
we'll be there.
And for a decent Shiraz, a canapé, and a book signing, we'll definitely be there.
Super elites are we, advising gratuitously.
We pontificate with great persistence.
Still call Australia long distance. No cultural maven competes with expatriate super elites. Guardians of the flame, promoting ourselves with no shame.
I distill pop culture's quintessence.
I'm a feminist who fancies adolescence.
The media so mistreats the expatriate super elite.
We point out your cultural flaws.
We condemn your corporate-sponsored wars.
We're the greatest intellects Australia's got, whether you want us or not. Three postmodernists sublime, defining a new paradigm.
We abjure all stereotyping.
Submit to our wit and didactic sniping.
No fear, sign to feast the expatriate super elites. We occupy Cambridge seas, expatriate super
elite. See how he flies on a wire, originally meant to go higher.
He can't touch the ground with his feet. He's inadequate super elite.
Why does everything we do end in farce?
It's in our nature, as the scorpion said to the frog.
Well, at least we're doing something. It's better than doing nothing.
Or doing nothing else.
Are we gonna go? Or stay?
I think we should go.
Where?
Somewhere else.
Will we stay there?
Of course.
Well, why not stay here?
Well, for one thing, there's no toilet. Oh, hang on a minute. Here it is, the Garno report. Right next to the Wizard of Id.
Oh, it's just a draft report.
Oh, yeah. It's a basis for discussion.
Yeah. None of the suggestions have to be adopted in full.
Oh, thank goodness.
What does it say?
Yeah, it's not very good. But there's a footnote.
Give me a look. See page 2 for optimistic conclusion.
We each have
to modify our behaviour. Cut our gas emissions quite a bit.
The free market never will be our saviour. They'll have to invent a car and runs on shit.
The future requires us to be objective and sacrifice our self-indulgent ways.
But make sure you put it all in perspective. Listen to what Professor Garneau says.
Says,
what if you died tomorrow with all of your anxieties and fears? All of that angst and worry, wouldn't it be an awful waste of tears? So laugh and sing, don't fret about a thing. A solution may be on the way. We're all gonna die tomorrow, one day. What if you died tomorrow and left your worldly troubles far behind? Soon it may well be starving, but if you died you wouldn't really mind. Your kids live on after you are gone, and they will have to cope, it's true. But one of these days, they'll cark it like you.
No one's prepared to address the questions. People do the things they did before.
Garneau can shove his severe suggestions. We don't want to hear about them anymore.
When these bleak visions are laid before us, we prefer to chuck them in the bin.
Return to singing a joyful chorus and forget the strife the human race is in.
What if you died tomorrow? What if you shuffled off this mortal coil? Why, you can still buy iPods, and there's still a fair supply of oil. Things may change, but why is that so strange? You still can earn a crust today. If we're gonna die tomorrow, okay.
Optimistic conclusion.
The end.
Jonathan Biggins, Amanda Bishop, Drew Forsyth and Philip Scott in Waiting for Garneau. We've been listening to a performance before an audience at the Sydney Theatre Company in July. Recording engineer David Bates. I'm David Fisher, and next week on Big Ideas, we launch into another Summer of Science. We get out and about and catch up with some entertaining talks looking at popular themes in scientific research. We begin with a look at the plastic brain. Yes, it can change in response to our thinking. A Summer of Science starts next week on Big Ideas and continues right through January here on ABC Radio National.
You've been listening to another ABC Radio National podcast. ABC Radio National, on air and online, with many of our programs available as podcasts or MP3 downloads. All the details at abc.net.au/rn/podcast.